Hey you, welcome to Build the Damn Thing, a place where myself, Tiffany Largy, and our amazing Do the Damn Thing coaches show you how to use your story to build it all. Whether it's your first six figures, your next layer of multiple six figures, or maybe you're on your way to a million. And if it's not that, it's the life of your dreams, where you are free, you are strong, and you are whole. First, we're going to show you how to use your story to build a strong foundation. And then next, we're going to show you how to use your story in sales and marketing to clean up the cracks. And last but not least, we're going to show you how to use your story to gather people. Because the truth of the matter is that there's nothing stronger than being connected to people who just understand you as you are, where you are, so you can stop explaining yourself. I want to remind you that now that you're here, you are home, and I officially welcome you to our family. All right, let's get started.
I can only imagine the moments that you're having with these women, these private moments.
Right.
I can only imagine the dialogue, the moments of, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
That is so wild to me. I'm so grateful for it. It is deliciously, deliciously game changer. I did it to fit in. And you know, and it's even hard for me to think through the fact that she goes all, like, think about this, the gravity of this, because different than my journey and probably most people, I'm going through people in my mind. She goes all the way through medical school, right? So it's 200 years in medical school, $2 million in debt. You have had to prove yourself in a white world,
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet that your grades were somewhere between a high C and an A,
mm-hmm.
knowing you,
mm-hmm.
because you were like, I'm not going to slide in with
mm-hmm.
a grade.
Mm-hmm.
You were like, I'm going to show all the people and all
mm-hmm.
the things.
Mm-hmm.
So you roll through the game with an A, you have the A, you begin to practice. I'm sure that you're feeding yourself, but I also believe that you're like, this is not it. I really do believe that you're 2-3 years into this thing. And on the outside, everybody's like, oh, it's Dr. Young. And you know, and they're talking you up. And it's feeding you. It's feeding your ego because you did do all the work. And you're like, yes, I did do it, mother flippers. But you have this moment where you're literally like, this is not it. This is not it. This is not it. And the fact that you could acknowledge yourself enough to go, I need a home. I need a home. That's big, you know? Like to go, I need a home. Because I'm sure when you started, you weren't making much money. It's probably a couple hundred dollars.
Right.
She's making thousands of dollars a week.
Right.
You get it? Like the logic and the psychology around, she's got a great position. She's got a great place.
Right.
She probably works in a place where people are respecting her.
Right.
She don't have no drama there.
Right.
The patients are probably, oh, I love you, Dr. Young. Right. You're so great.
Right.
But then she's like, I'm going to go pick up this thing over there for a couple hundred dollars. She goes through. She does the first 2-3 months. She probably has $409 after 66 hours. And she's like, yes.
That's so true.
You know, the reason why I have to have you walk through this for yourself is because there are so many people who don't feed themselves the thing they need. And they spend all of their time continuing to be in the other place where you fed yourself the thing you need. Even though for the outside world, it might look like a loss. Even though for the outside world, there's not much money involved. It doesn't matter. That, you know, have you had to put a number on how many girls you've helped? How many games or people, if you could quantify how many people you've touched and impacted?
I would say probably over 1,000.
You people hear
probably
this?
Probably over 1,000. Because when you look at a roster, and then my games.
Yeah. Over 1,000. And here it is, you're thinking about what legacy you did or did not. So this is the difference. Stay with me, because this is exactly what we talked about last night. And I need to make sure that everybody hears this, and I hope I say it right. So yesterday, you were really focused on, I got to make sure I'm left behind. There's a legacy behind this thing, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be forgotten. And I'm going to get to this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the belly of not wanting to be forgotten, we are like, you're like, well, I've been helping all these kids and doing all these things all this time. The only difference between the expert who has been doing all the things and the person who is not forgotten is them opening their mouths and telling the story of what they did. That's it. There is no difference. There is literally under the Son of God, there is no difference between the person who's the Rockefeller and the person who has been doing all the things over here. The delusion is that the person feels that they've been doing all these things over here and someone's going to come see them and go, oh, you've been doing all the things. So you got known because you did all the things and then all the people told all the other people. But I would bet my bottom dollar that Rockefeller spent some money tooting his own horn, getting papers to write about him himself. Because who else is going to tell our story if we don't tell the story? Because no one could tell it better than me. Like, people can see, the truth is that there's a lot of people who could probably come and see even my own story in this last 10 years, last 5 years, last 2 years, last 12 months. But the reality is that nobody knows how many nights I cried. Nobody knows. There's not another human's going to know but me. How much pain I had, what kind of pain I had, what I really had to go through. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if I were to leave it to John, Mike, and Sam to tell my story or to acknowledge me and my story, then like they're going to tell pieces of it. But when I say, no, I had 100 out of 169 days that I went to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning trying to figure it out, feeling lost and alone. That's it. When we take the fabric of our story and we deliver it to the world, you've never told another person how many people you've helped, how many women games you've officiated. Think about this. You've been doing this all this time. If you were doing this all this time, who the hell else would come out and say and tell? But think about it. Who is there? Even if you had 6 husbands and 62 children, none of them would know exactly how many games you officiated and how many people were there. Nobody would know.
Right.
Nobody's gonna know. Nobody's gonna know because nobody else is counting. Nobody else is there. Only I know. Only you know. So then it's my responsibility to share with all the people. But think about it. If you had heard me like 8 months ago or 8 years ago, one time go, we've helped, like we've produced 300 events. You would hear that one fact randomly. But the moment that I've say, I've put $1 million in the bank by helping people to tell their story, I have to say that over and over and over again. Move that aside. That's a quantifiable win. Now, why do I do this? Why did I get started? I got sick and tired of putting Jada Mai to bed hungry. The pain of that is still real right now. There are times where I look at Jada and I'm like, shit, so sorry you went through that. It's the truth. I spent 6 years in a place that I shouldn't have been. You know what I mean? So if I don't tell you how bad it was, I felt... If I don't tell you how awesome it was, I felt, if I don't even tell you in detail how I got from here to there, there's actually no one who has been watching my story this whole time. You get what I'm saying? Like, guys, like, think about it. Think about the truth of it. Nobody could step in. Even if I paid someone $10 million today, this is the truth. If I went to a company and said, hey, 38 of you, $10 million, please tell my story. There is no way for them to tell my story unless they come back to me.
Can I try?
You know what?
I'll do it for half.
Matt's like, 10 million? Matt's like, here's my PayPal. Literally. And then he's like, cash app.
That's true.
Look at the, you've already done the thing that you're seeking. You actually have. And if we were to sit down and get some facts, get a piece of paper, and count how many games you've gone to. Those are, that's data. It's facts. It's not my opinion.
Right.
It's not nobody's opinion or feeling.
Right.
I bet you it's like 22 games, 800 kids. There was that year you had 29 games.
Right.
And that's not even to talk about the people that you're also educating in these streets. You're doing classes. You're She's teaching the classes for the people then. Yeah. You know that? She's teaching other people how to do the thing. So think about it. You don't actually need to do more to achieve the thing that you were after yesterday. Mm. In theory, if you stopped right now and you didn't do anything else, you've achieved the thing that you were after. The only reason why people are forgotten is because their story goes into the grave with them because they did not tell it. Mm. That is the only reason why people get forgotten, because the stories and their story goes into the grave and their mouths are sealed forever. If I die today, my story is going to live way past me because I've planted it in the heart of hundreds of thousands of people in person and millions of people over the last decade. Mm-hmm. So it's my responsibility though to keep talking. We've done 100 odd different things, webinars, masterclasses, night school. But I still, next week, I need to get in front of an audience and tell my story. I got to keep telling my story. I can't just tell it once. Mm. Everything you've done is because of the fact that you didn't fit in.
Right.
Like every move that you've made. And I think that you're like, we're together, we're seeing this pattern.
Right.
It was the want to fit in, the yearn to fit in, the need to fit in.
Right.
And that's a human thing, because every white guy, every black guy, every Chinese person, Asian, Indian, part-time Mexicans, all of them, they have a need to fit in.
Right.
So when you say it, it's not about being a black woman. When I get on camera, I'm like, I wanted to die. I really wanted to kill myself. And I thought about trying to figure out how to get this thing done. I know I'm talking to the human who has felt like, I just don't even matter. And I can't, I don't know the way out. It's a human plea. It's not a black plea. It's not a black woman plea. It's not a single mom plea.
Right.
So flipping this, the person who's waiting for you right now, they still don't feel like they fit in at this moment. And they never have. That's why we talked about the guy last night.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't have no kids.
So true. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why he goes 4 times a year to the gathering, show him face. Because he knows how to operate at a high level.
Right.
But he doesn't feel like he fits in.
Right, right.
And she don't feel like she fits in. So you know where they decided to fit in? The same way you said, yo, I'm going to go run through this basketball game. They said, you know where I'm going to fit in? I'm going to fit in with money. And then they pursued that. But then once you get to the money place, you're like, oh shit, this shit is hollow up here. Oh God. Okay, but I'm here. I have a title. I got my law degree. I done put everybody in debt. I can elevate myself from everybody else and disappear from the world. I don't, no one gets to see either how much I drink, how sad I am, how lonely I am. I get to create facades and money will let me do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to whip out the Rolex, but I'll let you see my $800 watch. I'm going to show up in my BMW because I can hide with these things.
Right.
And I'm going to hide long enough. But then we get to the other part of the thing that we talked about, which is there's only so much shit we can buy. And then you're like, oh, I have a problem. Because the loneliness or the I don't fit in, it swallows you emotionally. It swallows you. And no amount of money can fix that pain. And you can't pour any more money in that hole. I know, I've been there. You cannot, even if you wanted to.
Mm.
Your next responsibility is to keep talking about where you didn't fit in. The days, the hours, the minutes, where you didn't fit in.
The at home, the with your brothers, the band,
well,
the flags.
In the class.
All that class. Stuff that we just talked about.
Because it was everywhere you went. Which means that you probably had to, there was something that you acquired or developed that allowed you to keep your head above the water as you didn't fit in. That thing, whatever that thing is that you did, is the product that you then sell. That's the solution. So for me, I felt alone. I needed community. Yesterday, I explained to you about night school's structure. Mm-hmm. Day one is to weed people out. Because I'm looking for like homies at all the price points. We're looking for people who we want to hang out with. There is not a person, am I wrong? There is not a person, Matt, that we have ever had anywhere that we wouldn't sit and have late night drinks with till 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. There is not one person in the last 3-4 years, I mean, no lie, that I, at any price point that we have sold to anything, I'm talking about like $39.99 to $39,000, that we would not all want to sit and drink with until 1 a.m. I can't think of one person. And so it's like, I created the thing to solve my own problem. What we're looking for is, what was the thing? You did a thing, and that thing is what you're going to be known for. I used my story like a cloak. I allowed my story to give me my confidence. I allowed my story to make it okay to be me. I allowed my story to be the reason why you should buy from me. I made my story the reason why you should be my friend, why you should come work for me, why you should partner with me, because it's kind of all I have. What's your thing?
I believe the thing that really allowed me to stay above water, as I was sharing with Matt, I memorized a poem when I was a little girl that says, "Don't quit." And I memorized that poem. And that was the one thing that I repeated over and over. Where most time in my closet, or someone tried to, speak negatively towards me or say that I couldn't do anything. It was that poem,
"Don't quit." How often were you in your closet?
I was in the closet, and it was only during the daytime because I was afraid of the dark, like the natural dark. I was always so afraid of the dark.
How often were you in?
In the closet. I would say minimum maybe once a week at least. I would just go into the closet.
How old are you?
I'm a little girl. Maybe 7 or 8. I mean, I do remember that. I was little.
What did the closet give you?
Security. And I fit in. It was just me and whatever was in there. Clothes, yeah. My shoes.
Your stuff.
Yeah, my stuff. Right.
Because on the outside, you didn't fit in.
Didn't fit in.
And at different chapters, moments, and days, different people made sure that you knew in some way, shape, form, figure that you didn't fit in.
Right.
And you didn't fit in because, are you willing to finish the sentence?
If I can, I'll try. Mostly, let's see, probably some of it had to do with the fact that I had a different dad than my brothers. The other piece to it was I didn't look like my brothers, the same skin tone. Like my skin tone is light complexion compared to their complexion. The third piece is because I had brothers, my best friends, although I didn't fit in, my best friends were boys. So then now the girls are jealous. So there's jealousy in there. And I think those are the biggest, probably top 3-4 pieces as to why I felt as though I didn't really fit in.
And what state am I in?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
So Pennsylvania. Right.
Mm-hmm. Safer if I'm lighter?
Safer.
Safer, more accepted if I'm lighter
skin? If you're lighter. Me or just in general?
I'm asking in general.
I don't know, because I didn't fit in. So I really didn't pay attention to.
Did you want to be darker?
That would have been nice, but I realized that probably didn't matter either, because I got the first awakening of black white when I went to a Catholic middle school in 6th grade, when my best friend was white and her dad said, "Oh no, you can't talk to ends on the phone." So yeah.
Is race here elementary, middle, and high school?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And race is the backbone of not fitting in.
Yeah, it's probably the biggest piece.
It's the biggest piece.
It's the highlight. Yeah, that's probably number one.
Who was the greatest? Where is the greatest place that you didn't fit in?
The greatest?
Yes. What's at the top of the list? Because I asked you this question before, but the answer is going to change.
The greatest place. I mean, let's see, there's probably two places. School, because I would pick the place I spent most of the time, basically. Probably school, you know, when I went to Catholic school, all white school. And then two, probably my home.
Where was the one place that you did fit in?
That I did fit in? My closet.
You know, months ago, I asked you this question differently, and your answer was that you fit in with your family and in your neighborhood.
Okay.
And I asked you the question indirectly because I felt like you didn't fit in with your family. I feel like you fit in with your mom.
Yes. That's probably true. Yeah.
And that is what I heard in between the lines of what you wouldn't say before we got into a conversation about race or the truth of knowing we could fit in.
Right.
That you felt that you fit in with your mom.
Right.
But that place of fitting in was skewed because of the questions around, mom, where is my dad?
Yeah.
And so you had this navigating nonstop battle of self. And then also you said, I will just fit in with me. That's where becoming a doctor, because there is no higher position than a doctor, and then no one could tell you anything. That's why you became a doctor. It is not for any other reason. It is not for any other reason. You became a doctor because you were like, none of you people would be able to say anything. I'm going to be at the top of the food chain. I'm going to have the job. I'm going to get the accolades. I'm going to have the things, and I'm going to put that on as a cloak. And this will be my identity. And this cloak is going to cover me, and it's going to protect me. And then people can't penetrate you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even about having a certain amount of money. It was about adopting an identity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this identity became the tool and the thing. And as wild as it sounds, if you could think that the identity is the most important part, because to fit in with ourselves, we actually have to then know who the hell we are.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it wasn't long lasting, you were like, I know who I am. I am a doctor. Bingo. I got me a title. I know who I am. But that's that non-lasting part of it. It began to wear and it got thin. And you were like, the doctor thing is nice. I'm grateful for the money. You like people. And you love to help people,
mm-hmm.
and you have the heart for humans. So you were like, all right, I get the gig. I'm going to do it. But the only place that you fit in is with and by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you've created your life the way you've created it.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone ever made you feel safe? You don't have to tell me who. Anyone. Is there any human that lives today? Is there any human that lives today that has made you feel 100% safe?
Probably my mom, my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's it?
That's probably it. If I had to pick, yeah. I would love to be able to say my brothers, but I would think just my mom.
Nope. I understand.
Yep.
Were they ever jealous of you for being a lighter skin?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, they didn't treat me any different. I don't think so.
Did they ever make a comment? Statement.
I don't think them, but other people.
And they...
Banana, you know, just school kids. You know, I don't remember my brother per se, because I don't think my mom would tolerate it if they did, right? She would just nip it in the bud, just like she always said. She never had half of kids. So she never allowed us or my brothers to say, oh, that's half your sister. She always said, I had a whole child.
I think I'm going to have another topic I'm going to talk about soon. Colorism is such an interesting thing. And Dr. Young, you're amazing. Let me just tell you this. You have done something ridiculously huge for yourself, but also for everybody here in this room, and more importantly for me. The truth of how we satisfy our loneliness and our wanting to fit in, because it's not some people who need to fit in. I think the greatest lie is that some people of wealth, status, they give the illusion that there is no need to fit in, and they don't have that same need, and that what the human is lacking is money, which is why I talked about no interest in showcasing a Bentley behind me, you know? Because I know that every human was built to connect. That's what we're here for, and that's how we were built.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we can do that, the stronger we are on this planet, and then we get to the thing we're meant to do. I love the fact that in the midst of that, you were like, and you pursued yourself in a silent way. And it was the thing. It was the thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine the next 12 months is not even about you doing anything new. It's literally talking nonstop until you have no more air about the things you've done. You talking nonstop. That's that word in the middle. It's not you talking about the things you've done. You talking nonstop.
Mm.
Oh, this is so good because we're on the same page now. She was like, I don't know if we're on the same page, but real earlier, she was like, you might be in the same area. Same book, maybe.
I hope that episode was amazing for you and you are closer to building the damn thing. I can't wait to hear what your thoughts were, what part you loved, and the action that you're going to go take. Because the truth of the matter is that the person who wins is not the person who gets there first. It's the person who takes action first. Now, I've got a gift for you, and it is at www.strappedhustle.com. It is imperative that you run there and you see all types of goodies, starting with the 7 must-haves that you've got to put when telling your story. There is so much deliciousness awaiting for you. I would love nothing more than for you to go ahead and give us a thumbs up and a 5-star review on not just this episode, but this entire series of How Do You Build the Damn Thing? Like always, if there's anything that we can do to make your week, day, or month better, please let us know. And more importantly, I can't wait to see you live. Whether it's at Do the Damn Thing Live or in one of our communities, or maybe you're just hanging out with us on social media. What I know to be true is that I am meant to connect with you somewhere, and I can't wait for that day to happen. And more importantly, I can't wait to see what you build.